I'm really happy this morning to see an old friend who has been a part of Christ Community Church's life for many years. It's my privilege to introduce Jessica Weaver this morning as our guest speaker. Jessica felt the calling pretty early in her relationship with Christ Community Church, and she listened and followed. So she is now with a mission called Teach Beyond. And just on their website, Teach Beyond's mission is, as followers of Jesus, we are a global community providing transformational education services as part of God's ongoing mission to transform individuals and communities into all he intends. So obviously, Jessica's going to tell us a lot more about Teach Beyond, more than I can tell you. But I will tell you this, Vicki and I had the privilege of taking a sales incentive trip to Vienna and ultimately to Prague in the Czech Republic several years ago. And it was just so happened Jessica was in Prague. And so she was our private tour guide, and we got to see much of the city that many people don't normally get to see. And it is a beautiful, beautiful place, but it is also a very dark place spiritually. So Jessica, come tell us about Teach Beyond. Glad you're here.
It's been a long time, y'all, and a lot has happened since the last time I saw you. In fact, I was supposed to be here 3 years ago and or 2 years ago, and I got very sick that week, and so I actually ended up having a stroke. But thank you for sticking with me through all this time, and then COVID happened, so, you know, I couldn't travel, and Steve is right to say that they were lucky I was in Prague, because I'm usually out of Prague, even though that's where my home is. But just this year, since January, I've been to France, Spain, Slovenia, Germany, Albania, all since January. So you do the math. That's a lot of traveling. So, but for 2 years, like nothing for 2 years. So it was, it's kind of hard to get back into the groove of traveling and everything, and just also maintaining balance. But anyway, I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what I do now. I have a different job than when the last time I spoke with you. It's still with Teach Beyond. I'm now the Europe Regional Director in, we'll see if this works, of Teach Beyond. And so what that means is I oversee all of our work in Europe, and I'll give you some stats about that in a little bit later, but it's a lot, just so you know, and it also includes Ukraine and Russia. So I will talk about that a little bit too, because I know some things that it's not in the news. So, but I'll let you know too. And Steve already told you about our mission statement. And so I'll show it to you, but we have this, we also have a prayer. We used to call it our vision prayer, but it was just recrafted actually in March. But so our prayer is, we wholeheartedly desire to serve our Father's world, to love Jesus Christ, and to see individuals and communities transformed by his Spirit through education grounded on God's word. I should have that memorized, but we really just changed it, so I'm still learning. So that's a good broad thing of what we do, but we basically, I tell people, we do anything that has to do with education. So a lot of people think of us as a sending agency. We send teachers, but we do so much more. We have programs for education in poverty-stricken areas. We have programs for refugees. We have all kinds of things that we are involved in. And so it's very broad spectrum. Mostly I deal with Christian international schools, but we have other things too. So that just gives you a little hint. And before, I was, you know, only over English as a foreign language in two countries. So it's now there's about 18 countries that I oversee. So it's a lot of travel. So we recently had a big conference we were supposed to have in 2020, right when COVID hit. And we were able to have it in Slovenia in March. And so I just wanted to show you, like, this is a picture of all the flags of all the countries we're in, which Teach Beyond has about 1,000 members in about 72 countries. So that kind of gives you the scope. And so this picture is most of the Europe group that came. So most of the people that I deal with, we have the largest contingency at the conference because it was in Europe and it was easier to travel to. So, but yeah, it was a fun time, a good time to reconnect, to really catch the vision for a lot of people who have only just been stuck in their schools and don't see the larger work of Teach Beyond. And then they were able to say, oh, I'm personally involved in these things because I contribute too, because everyone who raises funds, some of the money goes towards helping these, local or smaller places where they can't have funds or they are not able to raise funds, like the trash dumps in Ethiopia and things like that. So this was a recent trip to France. Actually, it was in the fall. And so we signed a new agreement with a school. And I just thought it was really, you would like to see that the school meets in a chateau. I mean, you know, so... They also, part of their school meets at a, they're on the same property as a church. The high school meets at a church, but their middle school meets in a chateau, and they have like outbuildings for the elementary. But so that's us signing the contract. And so we are partnered with them. And actually that's Patrick. He's also on our national board in France as well. So it was just a deepening of our relationship that was already happening. This just kind of gives you a little taste of what I do. And then I'll talk about the nitty gritty in a little bit. So this is my most recent trip. I was in Albania just a few weeks before I came to the States, maybe 2 weeks before I came to the States. And Teach Beyond Albania held a Christian teachers conference. I know this is a hardship. It was in a beach resort. So, you know, there's that. So on the Adriatic, I mean, it was really hard. But there were over 200 Christian teachers that attended from all over Albania, mostly nationals. And all of those people in the picture are some of my colleagues. They don't all live in Albania, actually. No one in that picture lives in Albania. So we have a couple from the UK and a Canadian, an Australian, and a Brazilian, but they all live in different places. So, yeah. They had this huge turnout, and it was a wonderful time about learning about transformational education in a context that is not very transformational. I don't know if you know much about Albania. I didn't know much about it until I went there. Before communism fell, it was a very godless place. And so Christianity really has only been growing in there since the early 90s. So it's still a kind of, it's not like a Wild West like it used to be, but it's definitely a pioneer place. So, yes. And the other picture, the little small picture is there's a small Christian school in Tirana that we are part of. So we work with two different schools in Albania. One is in Lezhë and this one in Tirana. It's called GDQ, but don't ask me to pronounce what that stands for because it's Albanian and I have no idea, but it's a man's initials. And he was a big proponent for Protestantism and also helping Albania get on its feet in the 1800s. So he's well revered in that country, not only in Christian circles. And so this is the Bible class that I sat in on a few weeks ago. So it was fun. They did a Jeopardy like style quiz. I'm going to move this because I'm just going to keep hitting it. they did a Jeopardy style quiz and it was a lot of fun. It was sixth grade boys and they had a blast with it. So that was fun. As Steve said, I do give tours for free, you know, Prague, because it's a beautiful city and I love it. And I had some colleagues come visit a few months ago and this is me showing them around. So, I only put together a few pictures for you because some of the things I want to talk about, I really can't show pictures of. The last couple of months have been hard. That's probably an understatement. But I do have a few members that are in Ukraine, two members to be exact. And they are a married couple and one is a national and one is Canadian. And they live on the Slovak border. So they're only about 10 minutes away from Slovakia. But she's a national, and I can't tell someone they have to leave their home, you know? And so, you know, we talked about it with our crisis management team, and we kind of went, you know, through all the scenarios and the options, and they finally signed the liability waiver and said, we're going to stay here and we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus here. And so they helped people, and I started contacting them with, because we also work with other schools in a different part of Ukraine and Kyiv. We have three partnerships there, and we were in the process of partnership in Odessa, and which obviously has come to a halt. But I put people in touch with her who were trying to leave the country. And so she helped people get across the border. They both did, but because, sorry, I shouldn't say his name because it's on Facebook, but because he is Canadian, he couldn't leave the country because then he couldn't get back in. And so she had to do all the border runs. And so, and also they were doing things like feeding seniors because they have no pension anymore because everything's cut off because of the war and all that. And so a lot of displaced people were coming through to get across the border, and they did what they could to help the school in Prague that I work with. I'm on the board with as on the board as well. They put together a drive to gather air mattresses and blankets and towels and things like that and sent them down. And this couple was able to pick them up and distribute them. And so that was amazing. And, but she also talks about how it's very evident they can see the hand of God working in Ukraine. And this is not going to be on the news, so it'll be hard for you to substantiate this. And but it's just proof that God is powerful and is working in deep, dark places. So at the beginning of the war, there were storms in the Black Sea that it made it where the Russian soldiers couldn't land. Because the storm was so bad. There was also an incident where paratroopers were coming in from Belarus, and a huge wind just blew them right back into Belarus. They weren't able to land. And there's just many stories like that. Missiles not exploding, whole towns just no one going into. Like, there's just these things where God kind of, you can see God's hand on it. And I was, towards the beginning of the war, I was watching a video from the mayor of Kyiv and his brother. And I don't know if you've seen any of the videos, but like both of them are world boxing champions. So they're these big guys, and, you know, and behind them, there was this flag of St. Michael, of Michael the Archangel. And I was like, that's really interesting. What does that mean? And so I looked it up, and apparently it's the flag of the city. And so I started praying like, okay, God, you know, if that is their mascot and that's who they, you know, they have chosen to represent their city, let that be, you know, that there are actually angels fighting for them. So we'll see what happens. But I hope and pray that there will be more stories like that I just told you, because it's been pretty amazing to hear the reports coming out of Ukraine. But along with that, we also had members in Russia. And so during the first week of the war, I had to work on getting them evacuated because the sanctions were so bad. It was not tenable for them to stay there. So they all evacuated to Bishkek. And then some people went on to their passport countries. And then some people stayed in Bishkek. And we worked out a way for them to continue as a hybrid situation in Bishkek next year. So they will basically have two campuses, one in Russia that it still has the local national teachers and the national students are still attending there in person. And then all the expats are doing online, but mainly through Bishkek, but they're still in locations all over the world. So I can only imagine teaching a class online when it's 9 a.m. in Russia, but it's in the middle of the night in the U.S., but people are doing that. So I just continue to pray for them. There's several other schools in Kyiv, one that we helped to relocate to the Czech Republic. We have set up an assistance fund for them. through that fund, we've been able to buy tables and chairs and rugs, projectors, whiteboards to make it look like a school. And one of my colleagues went to visit recently, and she said it actually looked like a school. I didn't think it would, but it did. So it's amazing that about a third of the families of that school moved to the Czech Republic, to this little village, and were able to restart again. And so they have a third that are there in the Czech Republic, a third that stayed behind in Ukraine, and a third that are just scattered throughout the world, really. So you can be praying for that school. It's called New Generation. And if you wanted some information on how to help them specifically, I can give that to you. But so those are just some of the stories coming out of that area. But yeah, it's been difficult. I will not gloss over it in any way. And the first few weeks were very time consuming and very hard. But I felt the Lord was with me the whole way. And like I told my boss at the beginning, I was like, no one trained me on what to do when there's a war. And he goes, no one could have known there was going to be a war in Europe, and it was not on anyone's radar. But I have had such great help from the organization, but basically I'm the decision maker for all that happens in Europe. So a lot was on my shoulders and is on my shoulders for it. But how I explained it to the president of our organization is like, I feel like I'm wearing this really heavy backpack, but I don't feel the weight because someone is behind me holding it up. And so like the first couple of weeks, I had a lot of requests come in, a lot of things happening. And I finally had to stop and sit back and pray and say, what are my priorities? What am I need to be focusing on? And I really felt like I need to focus on our members and our partners and all the things about refugees and displaced people and all those things. We have departments that deal with just that. So I contacted them and asked them, hey, can I send anything to do with refugees to you? Can I send anything to do with funding to you? And everyone jumped in and said yes. So I was able to take some things off my plate immediately, like stress completely dropped off at that point. And I just really kind of clung to Psalm 23, the one verse that says his rod and his staff will comfort you. And I felt that and I knew it. But one version that I read was like, it will comfort and protect you. And so I really, really clung to that. And I can really say that I felt supported and not alone, which is good, because when you, when you're dealing with things like this, it's kind of hard sometimes because there's not many people you can talk to. And, you know, I was dealing with confidential things. And yeah, so it was a difficult time. And, you know, the war is still going on. But the emergency, urgency, you know, type situations are slowing down now, and things are sort of normalizing. We're trying to figure out what the new normal is and trying to figure out how to help these schools once the school year starts again, and how that will go forward. So if you can continue to pray for that situation and how we can help the schools that we're involved in Ukraine and Russia. And on top of that, we have many schools that border Ukraine. So we have things in Romania and Belarus and Moldova and Hungary, and then the Czech Republic, which isn't directly bordering it, but they can go through Slovakia and get to the Czech Republic. And all of our members in those countries are dealing with refugees in some way, shape, or form. Either they're going to train stations and helping, you know, direct them to the refugee relocation centers, or they're helping furnish apartments, or some of them have even hosted refugees in their own homes. It's just they've all been involved somehow. And so our Beyond Borders, who is our department that deals with refugees and displaced people, set up a trauma training for all of our folks who are dealing with refugees coming in, because I can't even repeat the stories I've heard. It's just horrible. So it's really bad. And so, but we needed our people to be trained to know how to deal with them and their trauma, and then to also deal with their secondary trauma from hearing all of the horrible things. So you can continue to pray for our folks in those countries as well. So, I mean, it's really a broad thing today, not just the Czech Republic, because there's a lot going on. But yeah, I just really appreciate, I know y'all have been praying for me too. So that has been very encouraging and very helpful. So let me just tell you a little bit more about Europe in general. Oh, well, my time is almost up, but I'll just give you some stats about Europe, and just so you can get a scope. But we have about 285 members in Europe. It's hard to kind of count because we have national members too, and we count them in a different way. And so it's about 285, 300 members in Europe. So we're the largest region. Because there are four regions, we're the largest out of all of Teach Beyond, and it's about 17 countries. The number always fluctuates, like, so I can never tell, but it's usually about 17. And then we have about 39 projects all over Europe that we support, or some of them are owned by Teach Beyond, and some of them are just partner projects where we say, hey, we want to work together and let's work out a partnership. So, I wish I have many more stories I could tell you, but my time is kind of up. But I, please grab me afterwards and ask me questions. I would love to. Well, do we have time for a few questions now? If anyone wants to ask any questions. For me personally, or just for, okay. For me personally, I usually raise about $40,000 a year. That covers my salary and my insurance and you know, everything that, and also fees that go to Teach Beyond, because they take about 10%, so they can run too. So actually they take about 10%, but all of that money actually comes back to me in some way in services, because they take care of me very well. And so it's, even though it's not directly going to me, it is going to me. And so, you know, I could always use more support, especially monthly support. And then, so we have started two different funding things for Ukraine. One is for displaced people inside Ukraine. So those are people who have had to leave Kyiv or Mariupol or whatever and go to a different part of Ukraine. And so it's things to help them with supplies and foods and apartments and things like that. And then we also have another fund that goes to any thing that helps with refugees from Ukraine outside of Ukraine. So I have also, that kind of is tied to that fund, I've made a campaign for this New Generation School to help them with funds. We've put that one at $30,000 and we've raised $15,000 so far. And I don't remember what the other fund, the last I heard the fund going to Ukraine was about $45,000, has been raised. So we're also looking at some longer term programs to help with education with displaced kids. And so I don't know how much that will end up being, because we're still trying to figure that out and hire a coordinator and all those things. And we'll probably hire someone from Moldova or Romania, someone who is a national. So we would need to pay them, but their cost of living is much lower than the US. So we're talking like $400 a month we would have to pay them or something. So, I don't have concrete numbers on that, like how much we need, because we don't know, but anything helps. So, yeah. Yes. I remember that you guys teach English. Well, in our, the international schools, they teach everything. We have people, so basically we even recruit heads of school and secretaries and dorm parents and RAs in some of these schools. So basically if it has to do with maintenance people, we recruited maintenance people and IT people. So if it has to do with education, we can help people do it. So I was over the English and teaching English as a foreign language in national schools before I took on this role. So that was the main focus, was teaching English. But now we have all kinds of teachers and principals and everything to do with education. So, yeah. Yeah. So all the schools we work with, I would say some of the schools that we work with are in countries where we cannot openly proclaim the gospel. So they are not considered Christian schools, but they're value based. And so we have these values we say we hold, you know, and so the parents have to agree to those values and those values will be taught. But those schools don't have like Bible class or anything. But like the Christian International School in Prague, there's a chaplain, they have Bible class, the Christian International School of Prague, and most of the schools were started as schools to support missionary kids. So missionaries would send their kids to these schools so they could have a Christian education. But the dynamics are changing. So I would say in Prague, the school has about 40% of the kids are missionary kids, and 60% are either diplomats' kids or business kids, like their parents work for Deloitte and Touche or something like that. So, or IBM, they have an office there too. And so, but we have some there's a huge Korean contingency in most of all of our international schools, because Korea is the largest sending country of missionaries. So every school that I'm involved with has a Korean contingent too. So it's amazing. And sometimes it's the largest population of the school. So, and one of my schools in Romania, they have tons of Chinese students because there's some Chinese businesses in Bucharest. And so most of the kids come from these Chinese students. So yeah, we're able to charge the business students more, and the missionary students, they don't charge as much. So they kind of have a tier. So yeah. Yeah, but the idea is most of these schools are missionary schools. So most of the teachers are missionaries to keep the cost low. But a lot of times they have two, like a sliding scale. If it's a business family, they pay a higher tuition. And if they're a ministry family, they pay a lower tuition. Yeah. So like in Black Forest Academy, which is in Germany, and it's a school that was started by Teach Me On like 65 years ago. They just have tons of both kinds of students. So, but a lot of students live there, and their parents are like in Middle East doing missions. And so it's a way for them to reach out to these kids. And they have all these big, what they call TCK programs, which is third culture kid. Is what it stands for, because if you're a TCK or an MK, it's different, and you have a lot of different needs. And so they really cater to them, and they have member care for them and programs just for them, because they, just for example, if someone asks a TCK, so where are you from? They don't know how to answer that, because they've probably lived in six different countries and they've never lived in their passport country. So they can't say, well, I'm from America, because they've never lived in America, but they're Americans. I mean, you know, so it's very difficult. And so that's just one example. So, yeah. Anything else? I don't want to take up too much time. So if you think of anything else, please. I could also just tell a million more stories, but I won't today. But thanks again for all your support and prayers over the years. And I really appreciate being here today.